We move now to the message that I have both looked forward to and dreaded, not because of the message, but because of what is behind the message and the responsibility that is carried in the information. Paul writes to Timothy, and in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says this: "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and those who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." We are now addressing the City Action Council's strategic prayer warring against princes. Four general propositions. Number one, we need to pray for human authorities. It is not an option, it is a requirement. Secondly, spiritual warfare is waged over geopolitical areas. That is to say, because God is the creator of a geopolitical earth, that is an earth with boundaries, and God in Acts 17:26 is the author of nations and boundaries, demons rule according to that pattern. Satan is not dumb. We make a grave error in not understanding or in underassessing the intelligence of Satan. Satan's problem is not intelligence, because indeed demonic spirits are, foolishly speaking, or humanly speaking, far more intelligent than the smartest man or woman you'll ever meet. Intelligence is not their problem. Wisdom is their problem. Wisdom is the application and the integration of information, and they are not able to apply and integrate their knowledge. But Satan has set up his kingdom in a parallel fashion. We read in Daniel 10, and again, I'm not going to take time because we don't have a lot of time. Just to have you address your notes, we read in Daniel 10 and Acts 17 and Ephesians 6, addressing the issue of princes. Now, let me make this statement at the outset. The Bible teaches that God will never allow us to get involved in a conflict which is beyond our scope to resolve. He said He'll never put us in a fight that we can't either escape or win, but He will always make provision to make sure that the fight is always equal. Now, that's a tremendous comfort. It also takes a lot of faith to believe when you're in the fight, because the battle seems so much stronger than you are, and you find yourself clinging to this statement, "God, I know You keep things fair." Doesn't feel fair, but you've committed yourself to keep things fair. Now, we've got lots of Christians who run around talking about spiritual warfare, and I'm not one of them. I wouldn't even be talking about this if I hadn't got yoked into the City Action Councils, who talk about how the devil did this to me and the devil did that to me and the devil did this to me. And I want to say, you poor dear saint, you've never seen the devil, you've never encountered the devil, and the devil's never had anything to do with you, pal. The devil would blow your socks right off your feet. You are dealing with a low-level demon, because God keeps this fight equal. And there, to my knowledge, is only one instance in the New Testament of anybody encountering the devil, and that was Jesus Christ. Because God makes sure the battle is kept on level ground. I remember very clearly in 1974, Jan and I were home. We were after church. I was minding my own business, about to take a nap. And a demonic presence came to the foot of my bed and plugged into me and read me like a computer circuit. It was the strangest experience I've ever had in my life. I knew two things. One, I was being assigned a new spirit. And two, that spirit knew more about me than I know about myself. There you talk about being exposed and feeling naked. Now, what we're talking about here today is I am not addressing your personal warfare with demonic spirits. That is not this subject. This subject is dealing with warring with the big guys, the princes, which Paul addresses in Ephesians 6:12. Now, You don't ever have to fool with the big guys, and most Christians don't even know they exist. They read Ephesians 6, that sounds goosebumpy, and they say, whoa. But they never deal with it, because you will never engage the princes until you get into princely work. Because the princes are reserved, their assignment by Satan is to rule in the realm of geopolitical control over the earth. Until you touch the management of the planet, you will never engage the princes. But if you begin to go after the work of the kingdom, which is the management of the created order, you have now got into the NFL. Those of you from other nations that are here with us, the NFL means the National Football League, and they hit very hard in the National Football League. All right, let's talk about some basic concepts. In this diagram, and this diagram may be the most important diagram I have ever done in my little life. This diagram demonstrates, I hope, this truth. God help me. Faith comes by hearing, not by diagrams. So listen to me. In the created order, there is the spirit, the world of spirit. It is non-corporeal, but it is real. It does not have molecules as we know them in terms of the material world. It is the spirit world is composed of something, we just don't know what. It functions by laws, we just don't know what they are. We don't know what many of them are. But a spirit, while it doesn't take up space as we know it, has form. And spirits are personalities who exist and who can think and move and have will and all the rest of that stuff. You know that. God, in His purposes and infinite intelligence and reasons far beyond what we can understand or I can understand, has done an amazing thing. He has created a door between the spirit world and His material creation, and that door is human flesh. It's very heavy. Very heavy. Because Father made man the portal between spirit and material world, He could only save the material world by materializing His spirit through a man, Jesus. The spirit world in God came through a human body to redeem the material world. The material world could not be redeemed in the spirit. It had to be redeemed in flesh. Now, the implications of this are immense. And here's where it gets scary. If you and I are the portals between the spirit world and the material world, we have a pile of responsibility. I'm laying the foundation for prayer. The reason I pray is not because I love God, but because God, through the spirit world, to change the material world, as in thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven, needs an agreeing portal through which His spirit can reach into His material creation. So that prayer is not an exercise of me getting empowered. Prayer is the release of God's Spirit through a body into His material creation. It is the aligning of my spirit, which governs my material corporeal being, with His Spirit, so that His Spirit is in my spirit able to bring His will through the door into the material world. That is a little beyond, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now, the spirit world, the demons and the princes who rule over the earth, I know they don't ultimately rule over the earth because they were judged at Calvary. But here's the problem. They are still operating in their authority until God's people dethrone them. Oh, if you understand what I'm saying, you wish I didn't say that. If you understand what I'm saying, you wish I hadn't said that. Psalm 110, son, sit down. It wasn't a request, it was a divine order. Be seated at my right hand until I make of thine enemies a footstool. And who is it that is going to make his enemies a footstool? It is his church. The legal document to the authority of the nations was taken at Calvary, and it is the church who has now been commissioned and given the assignment to take authority in every realm in the Spirit, following the Master. Now you say, is Jesus coming back right away? Or praise God, His return is imminent. His return is imminent. His return is imminent. I don't think so. Again, because it's your understanding of what Father is after that determines your eschatology. My eschatology comes out of God's purpose for man, not out of the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation. Because I can't understand Daniel or Revelation apart from understanding what God's trying to do. God is trying to prepare a co-worker. And in His infinite wisdom, He has deemed that there is something that is put into us in conflict and war that apparently could not be put into us in peace. Now, Christians do not like that kind of talk because they're into the Prince of Peace, not the Lord God mighty in battle. Don't take me into a war. Take me into heaven. Don't take me into responsibility. Take me to a harp. Don't give me a two-edged sword. Give me a rocker just inside the north gate. See, God is trying to change His people from meet me inside the north gate to I'll see you on the battlefield outside of Cincinnati. Now, this portal is what Paul tells us in Romans 8, 26 and 7, that God is waiting, the created order is waiting for man to figure out what he is, because the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou shouldest visit him. I'll tell you what man is, that God is mindful of him. Man is the door between spirit and material reality. God made man the hinge. And when you begin to understand the awesome responsibility of being a hinge, it'll put you on your face before Him and say, you know, with all due respect, God, you got to be crazy. How could you have entrusted the hinge between spirit and matter to man? Don't you know what's in him? Don't you understand his foibles and weaknesses and all the rest of it? He says, yeah, I do. But I've created another man. His name is Jesus. And in him, my created beings are going to be reliable portals. Now, man's authority over fallen princes comes from appropriating Christ's authority in the third heaven. We're now lower than the angels, but we have authority in the heavenly realm. Let me give you some examples. Faith is found in speaking down from the third heaven. I was recently with infamous Dave Davidson down in Poteet. Poteet is going to become famous. You watch. It'll become a byword, not a hissing. My son and I, Adam, 18th birthday, we went down there to hunt Bambi. Oh, no. So sad. I want to tell you, Bambi makes great chili. God help me. I just lost half you ladies. You brute. Okay, I'm a brute. Let's go on. Down there in the night, I had a vision, an encounter as I'm moving into this stuff. Before I say that, let me say this. I'm down in Miami, July, off in a hotel room in the middle of one of the real sleazy spiritual places. Miami is bad news in the spirit. And the Lord says to me, by what authority are you doing what you're doing? And if you are really going to do what you think you're going to do, you are going to have to move directly into the war against the princes over every city that you pick fight in. Are you up for that? I'm not excited about that. See, I have a problem. I got a lot of problems. The way God made me is a very interesting mess. there's a part of me that if you say be afraid of it, I'm going to go after it. It's the way God made me. Because I hate fear. You put fear in front of me and I can be induced to do things I shouldn't do. Because I hate fear. Okay? Same token, anybody that moves into this realm without understanding what it is insane. And I have enough understanding to know that. When you become strategic, the war against you becomes strategic. I'll say that again. When you become strategic, the war against you becomes strategic. I have never been a man given to depression. In the last 3 months, I have had some depression come against me that has blown my mind. And it isn't because I'm in a midlife crisis. I am not in a midlife crisis. When you live chaotically, the warfare is chaotic. When you live strategic, the warfare becomes strategic. And you start playing with heavyweights. Heavyweights begin to start playing with you. I'm in Miami. I say, God, I don't want to do that. He said, now you're teaching people three elements of the gospel. Number one, redeeming fallen men. Evangelism. Number two, justice to fallen institutions. And number three, authority over rebellious spirits. If you're going to preach it, you need to take the whole package. See, I was having fun fooling with public policy, and God said, go into the spirit realm. I don't want to go into the spirit realm. I've never been a demon chaser. I think Satan takes all the attention he can get. Almost everybody I've seen has ever touched spiritual warfare, you know, came out limping, naked, and never knew what hit him. And I don't want to go that route. But the princes have to be brought under the authority of the church. Now, in this vision, Texas, I encountered a prince. Very interesting. He looked at me, I looked at him, there was an exchange. One of the things that amazed me about this prince was his level of intelligence. And the Lord said, do not be fooled and don't misunderstand. This being is much, much more intelligent than you are. You are not going to outthink or out-strategize this guy. So forget it. And karate won't work on him. Okay? But he showed me something. He said he does not have wisdom. He said, your strength is in my wisdom. However much he knows about you or your strategy or what you're doing, wisdom is the gift of God, not given to rebellious spirits. That's why the writer of Proverbs makes such an issue out of wisdom. Seek it first, clothe yourself in it. All the scriptures about wisdom. Because rebellious spirits do not have it. Now, man's authority is found in his proper placement. I really urge you, listen to this two or three times. Geographically, I have authority if I am married to the land. If I am not married to the land, a la Beulah, Isaiah 62:3, and if I don't have the revelation of Acts 17:26, then I'm in the exact place that God has placed me. I have no authority. Or I don't have authority in this realm. I have authority in my family. But I don't have authority in this realm. In the realm of the city action councils, in the battle for the city, I do not have authority in a city that I'm not called to live in. Or I am not called to fight for that city. Authority comes out of placement. The angels lost their authority when they left their first estate. Authority in this realm is directly related to obedience to your placement. Now, if the church knew that, they would not be interested in job transfers and moving up the corporate ladder. We've got millions of Christians being beat up today because they're living in the wrong city. And you can't be righteous in Chicago if God has called you to Phoenix. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it does mean you cannot appropriate the authority God has given you. Demons are also married to the land. This is so heavy. Lord, woke me up. 2 weeks ago and gave me this little goodie. Climbed up in my study, and the Lord said, I want to show you something about demonic princes. In Mark 5:10, the demons begged Jesus not to cast them out of their country. Ooh, I hear something in that. The thing demons fear most is displacement. Now, God is going to take us into a place of authority if we ever grow up where we can displace them and they don't come back. But you're going to have the authority and the faith to understand what you're doing. We must minister within our limits and jurisdiction. 2 Corinthians 10, 13-16. Why do we have businessmen on the City Action Council? Because the problems of economics are not going to be solved by pastors because it isn't their jurisdiction. That is what is going to make the City Action Council so powerful in the Spirit, is you're going to have men and women functioning in their jurisdiction against the princes that operate in the comparable jurisdictions. Number four, this is the great one that you'll like. It takes a prince to fight a prince. It takes a prince to fight a prince. What does that mean? That means if you love your people, pastors, and I know you do, don't let Aunt Martha or Sister Mary go into the prayer closet and start praying against the princes over your city. She isn't anointed to do it. It is ineffective, and all it does is stir up a bee's nest. It takes a prince to fight a prince because authority is commensurate. If you are going to war against the authority of a prince, you have to have a prince's authority. And this is where recognition of calling becomes so important. People can say, well, in Christ, I have all authority. In Christ, yeah, in Christ you do have all authority to do what you're supposed to do in your jurisdiction. But you don't have all authority to function outside of your jurisdiction. And if you try and function out of your jurisdiction or out of your placement, you're going to stir stuff up that you don't know. And that's what happened down there years ago. Now, what does God then want for those who are going to pray for you? And some of you are called to be elders in the gates. What do you need? You need people under your arms, as Moses had them in Exodus 17:9-12. You need people under your arms. If I say, people, pray for me, you pray for my arms. Don't pray against the princes. If I'm called to fight a prince, I'll fight the prince in Christ. You pray for my arms. Don't you get into a fight with somebody. The worst thing in the world is to be in a fight when you got somebody you love around who doesn't know what they're doing. Because your energy is diverted from the fight, trying to take care of them and keep them from getting creamed. I don't want Mary attacking the princes. If I'm called to attack a prince, Mary needs to help hold my arms up. I'll go after the prince. Or, in another situation, if I'll pray, I'll hold somebody's arms up. I'm not called to go after all the princes, thank God. I'll hold your arms up, but I'm not going to get in the fight with you. It takes a prince to fight a prince. Three important observations. Number one, prayer involves a number of activities. Prayer, and you notice I put prayer in quotes because prayer has got a lot of different pieces to it. It has praise. Psalm 149 tells us that praise is to bind princes. I'd work, have fellowship, handle this properly. Operation Rescue in a crisis. Why? Because the price the people are paying does not seem to be commensurate with effect. I support Operation Rescue conceptually, strategically. I think it's a mistake. Okay? If you're going to pay blood, you better leverage that blood. And the system is hardly burping. And the saints are getting creamed. Issue came to me. Cannot get into the particulars of this. Let me just say this. I believe God has a word for the pro-life movement. It's a word that we don't want to hear because it doesn't sound like it's going to do anything. I think instead of putting our bodies into the police vans at the abortuaries, I think God wants to raise up warring intercessors on that land. Because Psalm 149 says the praises of God's people binds and puts in chains the rebel forces. Now, you talk about looking foolish You talk about looking crazy. You talk about unsophisticated political action. Bunch of airhead Christians down worshiping and praising God. But it's the foolishness of God to bring to naught the wisdom of men. I believe the next phase of the pro-life movement has got to be fought in the Spirit, because until you deal with the Spirit, you'll never get to the judicial system. Declaration, not request. I want to challenge you. I'm challenging you. Reread John 17. God called me back. He says, you want the clearest example of prayer in the Bible? Read my prayer. And I went back and I started studying John 17. And I found John 17 to be a series of declarations, not requests. And I've listed these verses. You can see it's the overwhelming portion of Christ's prayer, quote unquote, is a series of declarations, Jesus, of the portal between spirit and matter, affirming God's will. Being the matter through which spirit could speak what he wants to do. Now, you don't run into a lot of people who pray that way, because we haven't understood this issue of spirit-matter bridge. But you read John 17, you'll see that Christ became the submitted tongue to the will of a spiritual father. God is a spirit to the will of the spiritual father. His matter was yielded as a bridge. Worship, petitions, and supplications, Philippians 4. We must pray in the Spirit, Romans 8. We must pray appropriate honor, even for fallen authority. You cannot deal with demonic princes crudely. It's a challenge for me, because my nature, when I get into it, is not refined. And God says, you hold your tongue. No railing accusations, no you dirty devil, no nothing. Because you're dealing with authority. It's authority and you honor it even though it's your enemy. You defeat it with honor. You defeat it in an honorable way. Number two, specifically this, please put an asterisk next to this. Holy Spirit tells me this daily now, 5, 10, 20 times a day as I'm moving into this realm. He says, God answers general prayers generally and specific prayers specifically. He says, the Lord's told me, Dennis, you have wasted so much of your prayer because you didn't speak specifically what needed to be done specifically. You spoke generally, and I respond in kind. God answers general prayers generally and specific prayers specifically. Thirdly, in unity, in common ground. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if any two shall agree, I'll come and see that myself. No, he didn't say. He said, if any two agree, you have brought the witness principle into play. Remember in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, God says every word must be established in the mouth of two or three credible witnesses. Prayer is the law of agreement of two or three credible witnesses finding agreement in the will of God. That's why corporate prayer is so powerful, because it's according to the law of the witnesses. Number four, prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is to give us goosebumps. Prophecy is designed to make you know that God is still paying attention. No. Prophecy is a tool. What is it a tool to do? It is a tool to show us where and how to pray. Now, does that mean that man can prophesy and that it won't come true? Yes. Does that make him a false prophet? Not necessarily. It's a little trickier than that. Prophecy has a dimension in it, which is the Spirit uttering through a material being what he wants to do in cooperation with men. Okay? One dimension of prophecy is not the whole thing of prophecy, but one dimension of prophecy is God showing us where he wants to go so that we can be the portals in the flesh for his Spirit to do that work. Now, you ask me the balance between free will and sovereignty, and I'll tell you, I don't have the foggiest idea. I know it's there, but I know both sides to the equation are paradoxically operable. A sovereign God and free will through beings who yield themselves as obedient matter to Spirit. 5. We must learn how to relate to angels and their role on men's behalf in areas of spiritual warfare. C. We must pray from our revelation only and not from borrowed authority. Remember Acts 19:13-16, these guys says, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached." And the demon said, "Well, we know who Jesus is and we are familiar with Paul, but who the heck are you?" Because he said it probably stronger than that. And they took all their clothes off, just to make an illustration of the point, sent them out. You cannot pray in borrowed authority. And spiritual sensitivity is to know when you come up to your measure of authority and you don't pray beyond that. I want to pray in my revelation, not in John Wimber's revelation. I want to pray in my revelation, not, you know, Joe Jones's revelation. I need to know the borders of my own revelation, be pressing them out, but stay inside my revelation. You started praying against something, the Holy Spirit says, back off. You don't know what you're fooling with. Yes, sir. Back in mind. Stay inside my sphere. Authority comes from a unity of spirit and matter. Authority comes from a unity of spirit and matter. I may have a revelation in my spirit of a truth, but the measure of authority I'm walking in is the degree to which that revelation controls Dennis, the matter. Authority is the fusion of spirit and matter. The Word of God became flesh. Where God is taking the church is the fusion of spirit and matter versus religious dualistic powerlessness. That's a statement for you space cadets. Let's move on. The basic communication laws of spiritual warfare as we come around the corner on this. Please, and you know that all I'm doing is introducing something. Most of you are going to say, "I don't know what all he said, but he tickled something in there." That's fine. But listen to the tapes. Pray about it. Here's some laws of communication. I'll close with this. Number one, share only with people what they need to know. When you are in a spiritual battle, security of communication becomes very, very important. Do not give people information that makes them responsible for what they cannot protect and they do not understand. Share only with people what they need to know. The general's plans belong in the general's tents. What you are doing in your councils does not need to be shared in your congregation. In fact, a lot of it should not be shared in your congregation because your plans need to be kept to those who understand what they are. Here's one. Number two, share little to nothing with critics. I was in a situation here in the last year, and this blow your mind. I don't know what to do with this. You help me, because you may understand it better than I. The man is a brother. The man is my friend. The man is helping me do what we're doing. I get next to him, and the Lord says, "Do not share any more with this man. He is a critic." Feel it in the Spirit. I said, "Lord, how is this possible? This man loves me. He has a measure of revelation. He is helping me. But he is a critic." And I could feel in the city everybody that this man had invited or touched on my behalf had a question mark about me because of this man's spirit. I said, "Oh God, will you please open me up and make me sensitive? Because if I'm going to play in the NFL, I have to understand this stuff." Share sparingly with critics. Offended brethren. Offended brethren want information from you to use against you. God help us to get the wisdom to recognize offended brethren and to share nothing with them except Jesus loves you. Share little to nothing with the press. Publicity provides a target. There's a ministry whose name I will not use made the front page of one of the major local newspapers here in California. This brother, and I know him to be a brother, he is like a little virgin going to a Navy party. He is so excited. He thinks the party's really nice. He has no idea what the plan of the party is. He's made the newspaper. He is famous. Everybody talking about him. He is preaching the gospel for Jesus' sake. I read that paper. I say, brother, do you have any idea what you just did? Why don't you come into your next meeting with bullseyes painted on your front and back? Publicity creates a target. Avoid it. Be very selective in what you share. Psalm 131:1, David says, I'll not exercise myself in things too high for me. Okay? As we go into this war, number one, we need to share with others nothing that will disrobe our brothers publicly. There are well-known Christian magazines, and I restrain myself from naming names. There are well-known Christian magazines that are making a circulation by becoming gossip columns in the name of Jesus. And they are making their money by disrobing the brethren publicly. God help them, because God is on record as hating those who sow discord among the brethren. God help me, God help you from sharing anything publicly that disrobes the brothers. See, I think there's a rule in the family. I walk with Dick Brunner. Dick Brunner and I join. It goes either way. I apply it to Dick. He has full application to apply it to me. We're in a public meeting. Dick does something he shouldn't do. I don't want to deal with that publicly. We may get behind closed doors and fight like cats and dogs, but in public, because we do not disrobe each other publicly. Don't share anything that belongs for another to share. We Christians love to give each other's testimonies. Now, city action councils are going to have to be led by leaders who don't answer some other expert's question. I recognize in my life, I call myself a plumber. I've got a basic knowledge of a number of things. I have a superficial knowledge of a number of things. I have areas where I may know a little, and some where I might even be an expert, maybe one. The challenge is not to try and be the expert on somebody else's issue. Give a general answer and defer the question to somebody that really knows what they're talking about. God doesn't call us to be know-it-alls on everything. He calls us to stay in our sphere. Okay? Number three, share selectively or share nothing that reveals plans or actions not already cleared in council. This one is going to prove to be, I know in the Spirit we're going to have city action. I know in the Spirit we're going to have whole cities jeopardized, the work of God jeopardized in a city because one well-intentioned brother shared something with the press that never should have been shared until it was cleared by the council itself. I know it because I know human nature, you know. Offenses must come, but woe be it to whom they come through. We have to become men who do not give answers to people that are not cleared in counsel. Counsel is the safety by which we know what we can share and what we don't. Lastly, never answer questions no one is asking. We Christians are famous for answering questions that nobody is asking. Somebody put a mic in front of you, and you know it's Jesus. He has, oh God, thank you. You finally have given me an opportunity to share what I really believe about this for the glory of God. And you begin answering. And you know, you can get around press conferences. The press is like sharks, man. They can smell somebody answering a question that they didn't ask. And the moment they smell it, they're like bloodhounds. They're on that trail because they just got you in the thicket. As long as you stay on your ground in God, you're safe. In your ground, you can't be touched. On somebody else's ground, you are a bloody fish in the water. God's got to help us to learn how to recognize questions and not to try and answer something they're not asking. Last observation, and you can see all I've done is open a subject. Wisdom must be our refuge. We are going to learn wisdom because without it we will not do that which we are yoked to do in this great work. May God help us to stay in our sphere, to not jump up and fight princes until we've defeated a few things on the way. But the purpose of what I've shared with you is to open maybe a little bit more clear to you where it is we're going, what we have to do. Oh, joy. And all the leaders, they were so excited about what I shared. They said, oh, Dennis, you bless me. Other times, but you really blessed me this morning. Amen. Everybody said amen. You really, I made your day, didn't I? Hallelujah. I'm being sarcastic. I trust you now.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international non-profit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.